Amen. Happy Easter. He's alive.
Yes, sir.
That's what we told Reese this morning, and she said, well, where's he at, Daddy? That's what she said to Jessica. Jessica told her he was in heaven with the Father. I'm glad that's where he's at this morning. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And put your finger there and turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. 1 Peter 3 and Ephesians chapter number 4. Please get to your places this morning, and I want you to follow along with me as I read some scripture. First of all, this morning I'd like to read you Revelation 1:18. It says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And he says he has the keys of hell and of death. But this morning I'd like to think on this thought, Jesus gave more than he took. Jesus gave more than he took. In 1 Peter 3, this morning, our spring Sunday school quarter lessons all deal with faith. Our teachers today will expound on resurrection faith. When I think of faith, I have to travel to Hebrews 11, to the Hall of Faith chapter. Brother Taylor's already read this chapter a couple times during our openings, but let me read you some verses here quickly. Just listen. Verse 13 says in Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But verse 16 says, fire, but now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Amen. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them a city. You go read this chapter. It says, Abel died, Enoch died, Noah died, Abraham died, Sarah died, Isaac died, Jacob died, Joseph died, Moses died, Joshua died, Barak, Samson, Gideon, Samuel, David, Solomon, Elijah, Elisha, Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. They all died. I could keep on and on. But at the end of verse 35 in Hebrews 11 says, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. What all does that mean this morning? They all died, yet in their faith. They died in their faith and were looking and seeking for a better resurrection, seeking a better country. So when these people died, where did they go seeking this better country? Well, I studied and found the name of the place is Sheol. We've learned about this before. Holman's Bible Dictionary says that it was the place for the dead, for the righteous and the unrighteous. Over 40 verses in the Bible this word is translated from, and they all deal with the topic of death or hell. Some other interpretations of this word are Hades, Gehenna, pit, earth, paradise, or Abraham's bosom. It is a place where people are held captive or in prison. It is a place of demotion of rank. The two scriptures I have given you today both deal with this place called Sheol. But I'm really not interested in all these people and where they went when they died. But I am interested this morning where Jesus went. Amen. When he died.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because Jesus did die.
Yes,
he died this morning. His body was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. His body was in the grave.
Amen.
But where was his spirit? Where was his spirit? Look at your Bibles in 1 Peter 3. What does it say? Verse 18, look at it, read with me. For Christ also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the longsuffering of God, waiting in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that eight souls were saved by water. MacArthur states in verse 18 of chapter 3, let's find out where we are. We're talking about Christ. He suffered once for sins, the just for the injustice, that he might bring us to God, being put to death
All right, now we know we're talking about the Christ, and he's at the cross. He's put to death. Everybody with me this morning? The picture of the cross. Now watch, at the cross, while he suffered for sin, while he was there for the just and the unjust, while he was put to death, he was dead in the flesh, but he was alive in what? The spirit. In other words, his outer man died, but his inner man was alive. Now, have you ever asked the question where Christ was for those 3 days? We know where his body was. It was on the cross for a while, then it was in the grave. But where was he? You ever wonder about that? Well, I'll tell you this morning where he was. He was descending. He was going down, down, down. I said he was descending down. How do you know that? Look at your Bibles in verse 19. His spirit by which modifies the spirit, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. He descended down to the prison of the spirits. You say, what's that? Watch now, I give you a little picture. In the Old Testament, the place of the dead again. We can draw a circle in your mind. The place of the dead was known as Hades or Sheol. It's not really hell. That's not the proper word. That's strictly a New Testament concept. But Hades, two compartments this morning, two parts. Draw a line in the middle of that circle. The upper part was where the righteous were, the spirits of the dead. But the lower parts were the unrighteous and the bound demons. Everybody with me? Bound demons. So, okay, the place called Hades or the grave. Sometimes it's called Sheol. It's not really defined more than that. And this is where dead people's spirits go. The righteous to the upper half, which is good. It's bliss. It's happiness. And it's the righteous people, the people who believed in God, the bottom category, the unrighteous, the evil people, the bound demons. You know how they got there? Brother Taylor Penn will preach Tuesday night. They're the ones in Genesis 6 who came down and knew the daughters of men and produced giants in the earth. And that's why God destroyed the earth by water with a flood, because this terrible mixed demon man race would have messed up the whole concept of the God-man Christ redemption. And so he flooded them and destroyed the whole civilization. He took those demons that did that and he put them in an everlasting chain, says Peter. In an everlasting chain, he says that in 2 Peter. Jude says it also, and he kept them there. So in the lower part of Sheol, that's what it's called, even called Tartarus. The pit, the place of the dead, the ungodly, the place of the demons, but not the final hell yet. But it's a place of torment, a place of unrighteousness, a place of evil. Christ descended. He went down there, y'all. In verse 19, he went to the prison and to the spirits who, by the way, were fallen angels. It even tells you in verse 22, angels, authorities, the powers being made subject to them. And there it tells us clearly that they were angels. And what did he do there, y'all? Look at it. It says he preached this morning. But it's not the Greek word, Dad, for you euangelizo. It's not that word to preach the gospel. Oh no, it's the word caruso this morning, which is the Greek word to make a proclamation. He went there to proclaim something this morning. He said, victory, 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 victory. That's what he proclaimed. He went down there and proclaimed victory to these demons, to these unrighteous people. What Jesus did, what a defeat he did against death. Thank him for that. He went down there and took the keys and preached a victorious message and proclaimed it throughout all the heart of the earth. And it's clear from Colossians where Paul talks about the same thing in verse 2. He says, when Christ was on the cross, he spoiled the principalities and powers. Those are the fallen angels, the demons in the pit. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. In other words, while his body was in the grave, his spirit descended, went down in the lower parts of Hades, and there he made a proclamation of triumph in spite of what it looked like. In spite of what it looked like this morning, he proclaimed victory. He proclaimed victory and made show of them openly right before that they could see that he had triumphed. But on his way out, on his way up from that bottom of the pit, Jesus went through the top part. Yes. And all those people who were waiting for a better resurrection, the righteous people that had died in their faith, I just read to you, Moses, Solomon, David, Elisha, Elijah, Jochebed, Rahab, Boaz, Ruth, Obed, Jesse, David, whoever, they were there. Even the thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's what he meant. And he takes us to our other passage. Look at your Bibles in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 8, look at it. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, what did he do, Dad? He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended in the same also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. He led captivity captive this morning. You know who are the captives? You know they were the ones that were kept in the place called Sheol. They were the righteous, the Old Testament says. And they could never be resurrected. They could never be taken to glory until Christ had purchased their redemption on the cross. They had to wait for the triumph of Calvary. They had to wait for the victory. They had to wait that day. But when he won the victory and died for them, their sins were washed away. And Hebrews says he perfected forever by one offering them that are sanctified. When he did it this after the announcement, he just opened the doors to the lower parts of Hades and released the captives this morning. That's the point this morning. Those spirits are gone. Those spirits ascended with Christ. They left whatever that place was. They ascended with God to be in his place. And he led captivity captive. What a beautiful picture. And so here he comes, this conquering king. King Jesus, our hero, the one who's got the keys. He's got the demons bound. His enemies bound on one side. On the other side, he's got the people, his own. He's set free and he's conquering and releases them to liberty and freedom and the sons of God. But don't miss this morning. Don't miss it. I've missed it all these years. Paul says in verse 8, because I've missed it. I've been worrying about where Jesus was when he died. I've been praising him for the keys. He's got the keys this morning. I thank him for it. He's got them. But I missed this truth all these years from the resurrection and the ascension. So let's not miss it this morning on Easter Sunday. On way shift day, can I proclaim today Jesus gave more than he took? He gave more than he took this morning. Verse 8 says again, wherefore he saith, he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive. But don't let's miss the end of that verse. And he gave gifts to men like any good conqueror. You go read Psalm 68:16. This is what he's talking about. Like any good conqueror, when he conquered a nation, he passed out the spoils. He just handed them out. He handed out the spoils. Christ did the same for me and for you. But what are these gifts? Not the same as in verse 7 in Hebrews 4. He said he gave us grace. I'm not talking about grace this morning. No, in verse 11 it says he gave gifts unto men. Look what he gave. Look what he gave in verse 11, y'all. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Let's stop right there. Beloved, Christ has given the individual believer the gift, the divine enablement, so you can function in the church, and he's given to the total body gifted men some apostles. And in, you are indebted to the apostles this morning. I'm indebted to the apostles. You better believe it. You know something? You wouldn't have this New Testament. You wouldn't have this Bible if it wasn't for the apostles this morning. They're the ones who wrote it. When the early church met in Acts 2, it says they studied the apostles. What doctrine? We are indebted to these apostles and some prophets. Oh, the New Testament prophets. Those men of God who spoke for God and the Word of God were so strategic in founding and crystallizing of the incident church, and we are so indebted to them. And even though the apostles and the prophets, they faded away, they're gone, they're no more. But Ephesians 2:20 tells us that they were our foundation for the church, and there are no apostles or prophets today, but we are so indebted to them. They gave us the treasure of the Word of God, and they founded for us the basis of truth. But what else does it say? Don't miss it. What else does verse 11 say? Jesus gave, and this is the truth today. He's got the keys of death and hell, but listen to what Jesus gave us in the continued legacy of God giving us gifted men. It says he gave us some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Can I tell you this morning, because of Christ's resurrection and ascension, he gave gifts to men. Dad, you can preach the gospel. You can preach the gospel. Taylor Miller, you can preach the gospel. Taylor and Dylan and Jacob, y'all can preach the gospel because of the resurrection and the ascension. He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. Jason Harris, you can teach. Jeff Williams, you can teach. Todd, Jerry, Matt, myself, we can teach because he rose from the grave, because he gave gifts to men. I'm so glad this morning. I'm so indebted to men. Men have preached like my pastor, like Tom Gillum, like Brother Rick. We're indebted to these men, like Brother Fred Howard and Brother Dwight Warren and Brother Arnold DeVinny, Brother Jason Harris, Brother Jimmy Chatham, men that taught me. I'm indebted to these men this morning. This is what Christ did for us. He gave gifts unto men when he resurrected and ascended. Can you think of some gifted men today? That's what Jesus gave us, men to preach and to teach the Bible. I'm humbled this morning in my own life that God has chosen me. He's chosen me to teach his word. I'm so unworthy this morning.
that I could stand here Sunday after Sunday and try to proclaim his word, but he's given me a gift and I don't want to fumble it away. I don't want to drop it. I don't want to throw it away this morning. I want to proclaim this morning he's given us a gift because of the resurrection and the ascension. I want to be that teacher that he resurrected for. I want to use my gift he's given me. But when we have all failed, when we've all died, when we've all been forgotten this morning, I'm glad that we can look to Jesus for our example today. You know, he's even given himself for us and gifts that we have. Do you know something? Do you know that in every spiritual gift, every category, Christ is perfectly illustrated? Even if there was ever a preacher, it was Jesus. Even if there was ever a teacher, it was Jesus. If ever there was a ruler, it was Jesus. If ever there was an administrator, it was Jesus. If ever there was a servant, it was Jesus. If ever there was a giver, a helper, it was Jesus Christ. If ever there was a man of faith, it was Christ. Christ is the perfect illustration this morning. He is our perfect gift this morning. Father, we